na balaba giri Jamunati Ravana Shadi Jamunati Ravana Raya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhaktivarana Samsar Prabhupada Ghi Jai Jai Rai Das Thakur Ghi Jai Ram Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shri Gaur Bhakti Rinda Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Baba Gavira Shama Pundarada Kati 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 Gurdan Ghi Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ghi Jai Navadadam Ghi Jai Gaung Ghi Mohana Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ghi Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Rinda Ghi Jai Samabhatta Bhakti Rinda Ghi Jai Go Premanandi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Sarasvata Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parshtatya Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 56, Verse 1. Sri Stoka Uvacha Sishajata Swatanayam Krishnaya Krita Kilbisah Samanta Kena Manina Swayam Ujjamya Dhatvam
Swayam Udyamya Dattavan
उवाच
सत्राजितः
स्वकनयाय
कृतदिलिषः
श्यमन्तकेन
मनिना
स्वयं
यम्य दत्तवान्
Shrisuva Vacha,
Sukhade
Gosami
said,
Satrajita, King Satrajit,
Swa,
his own,
Tanayam,
daughter,
Krishnaya,
unto Krishna,
Kritta,
having committed,
Tilbisha,
offense.
Shamantakena,
known as Shamantaka,
Munina,
together with the jewel,
Swayam,
personally,
Ujamya,
striving,
Dattavan,
he gave.
Translation,
Sukadeva Goswami
said, having
offended Lord Krishna,
Satrajit
tried as best he could to atone by presenting himself with his daughter,
and the
Shamantaka jewel.
Maharaj
Parikshit
inquired, O
Brahmana,
what did King
Satrajit
do to offend
Lord Krishna?
Where did he get the
Shamantaka
jewel?
And
why
did he give his
daughter to
the Supreme
Lord?
Sukadeva
Goswami
said, Surya,
the sun god,
felt
great affection
for
his devotee,
Satrajit,
acting
as his greatest
friend.
The demigod
gave him
the jewel
called
Shamantaka
as a token
of his
satisfaction.
Weighing
the jewel on
his neck,
Satrajit
entered
Dwarka.
He shone
as brightly
as the
sun itself,
O king,
and thus
he went unrecognized
because of
the jewel's
effulgence.
As
the people
looked at
Satrajit
from a
distance,
his
brilliance
blinded them.
They
presumed he
was the
sun god,
Surya,
and went to
tell
Lord Krishna,
who was
at that time
playing
at dice.
The
residents of
Dwarka
said,
obeisances
unto you,
O Narayan,
O
holder of
the conch, disc,
and club,
O
lotus-eyed
Damodara,
O
Govinda,
O
cherished
descendant
of Yadu.
Lord
Savita
has come
to see you,
O
Lord of
the universe.
He
is blinding
everyone's
eyes
with his
intensely
effulgent
rays.
The
most
exalted
demigods
in the
three
worlds
are
certainly
anxious
to seek
you
out,
O
Lord,
now
that you have
hidden
yourself
among
the
Yadu
dynasty.
Thus,
the unborn
sun
god
had come
to see
you
here.
Sukadeva
Goswami
continued,
hearing
these
innocent
words,
the
lotus-eyed
Lord
smiled
broadly
and said,
this
is not
the
sun
god,
Ravi,
but rather
Satrajit,
who
is
glowing
because
of his
jewel.
King
Satrajit
entered
his
opulent
home,
festively
executing
auspicious
rituals.
He
had
qualified
brahmanas
install
the
Shamantaka
jewel
in
the
house's
temple
room.
Each
day
the gem
would produce
8
bharas
of gold,
my
dear
Prabhu,
and
the place
in which
it was
kept
and
properly
worshipped
would
be
free
of calamities
such
as famine
or
untimely
death,
and
also
of
evils
like
snake
bites,
mental
and
physical
disorders,
and
the presence
of
deceitful
persons.
Purport
Shri
Sridhar Swami
gives
the following
shastric
reference
concerning
the bara.
4
rice grains
are called
1
gunja,
5
gunjas,
1
pana,
8
panas,
1
karsha,
4
karshas,
1
pala,
and
100
palas,
1
tula.
20
tulas
make
1
bara.
Since
there
are
about
3,700
grains
of rice
in
an ounce,
the
Shamantaka
jewel
was
producing
approximately
170
pounds
of gold
every day.
On
one
occasion,
Lord
Krishna
requested
Satrajit
to
give
the
jewel
to
the
Yadu
king
Ugrasena,
but
Satrajit
was
so
greedy
that
he
refused.
He
gave
no
thought
to
the seriousness
of
the
offense
he committed
by not
denying
the
Lord's
request.
Once,
Satrajit's
brother,
Prasena,
having
hung
the
brilliant
jewel
around his neck,
mounted
a
horse
and
went hunting
in
the forest.
Purport,
the
inauspicious
result
of
Satrajit's
refusal
of
Lord
Krishna's
request
is about
to manifest.
A
lion
killed
Prasena
and
his
horse
and
took
the jewel.
But
when the
lion
entered
a mountain
cave,
he
was
killed
by
a Jambavan
who
wanted
the jewel. within the cave, Jambavan let his young son have the Samantaka jewel as a toy to play with. Meanwhile, Satraja, not seeing his brother return, became deeply troubled. He said, Krishna probably killed my brother who went to the forest wearing the jewel on his neck. The general populace heard this accusation and began whispering it in one another's ears. When Lord Krishna heard this rumor, he wanted to remove the stain on his reputation. So he took some of Dwarka's citizens with him and set out to retrace Prasena's path. In the forest, they found Prasena and his horse both killed by the lion. Further on, they found the lion dead on a mountainside, slain by Riksha or Jambavan. The Lord stationed his subjects outside the terrifying pitch-dark cave of the king of the bears, and then he entered alone. There, Lord Krishna saw the most precious of jewels had been made into a child's plaything. Determined to take it away, he approached the child. The child's nurse cried out in fear upon seeing that extraordinary person standing before them. Jambavan, strongest of the strong, heard her cries and angrily ran towards the Lord. Unaware of his true position and thinking himself an ordinary man, Jambavan angrily began fighting with the Supreme Lord, his master. Purport the word Purusham Prakritam Matva, thinking him a mundane person, is very significant. So-called Vedic scholars, including most Western ones, enjoy translating the word Purusham as man, even when the word refers to Lord Krishna, and thus their unauthorized translations of Vedic literature are tainted by their materialist conception of the Godhead. However, here it is clearly stated that it was because Jambavan misunderstood the Lord's position, he considered him Prakrita Purusha, a mundane person. In other words, the Lord is actually Purushottama, the ultimate transcendental person. The two fought furiously in single combat, each determined to win, contending against each other with various weapons and then with stones, tree trunks, and finally their bare arms. They struggled like two hawks battling over a piece of flesh. The fight went on without rest for 28 days, the two opponents striking each other with their fists, which fell like the cracking blows of lightning. Purport Srila Vishnu Chakravarti points out that the fight continued day and night without intermission. His bulging muscles pummeled by the blows of Lord Krishna's fists, his strength faltering and his limbs perspiring. Jambavan, greatly astonished, finally spoke to the Lord. Jambavan said, I know that you are the life, air, and sensory, mental, and bodily strength of all living beings. You are Lord Vishnu, the original person, the supreme, all-powerful controller. You are the ultimate creator of all creators of the universe and of everything created. You are the underlying substance. You are the subduer of all the subduers, the supreme Lord and the supreme soul of all souls. As Lord Kapila stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.42, Mrityus Charati Madbhayat, death himself moves about out of fear of me. You are he who impelled the ocean to give way when his sidelong glances slightly manifested his anger, disturbed the crocodiles and tamingle of fish within the watery depths. You are he who built a great bridge to establish his fame, who burned down the city of Lanka, and whose arrows severed the heads of Ravana, which then fell to the ground. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, Lord Krishna then addressed the king of the bears, who had understood the truth. The lotus-eyed personality of God and the son of Devaki touched Jambavan with his hand, which bestows all blessings, and spoke to his devotee with sublime compassion, his grave voice deeply resounding like a cloud. Yeah, goes on forever. So, anyway, here we have the beginning, or half the story of the Samantaka jewel. And the story about Satrajit. And finally, Miring's daughter. So this is a little bit mysterious story because we find that in Dwarka we have this greed of Satrajit, who did not want to give up his jewel. And then we find the people starting speaking rumors also that maybe Krishna has killed the his brother and taken the jewel. How could all this happen in Dwarka? So again, this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Actually, there's no fault in Dwarka because it's also part of the spiritual world, but sometimes for pastimes, then things like this manifest. And ultimately we find that his daughter is becomes a great queen, one of the primary queens of Krishna. So we can't really criticize him or anyone else in this particular pastime. Though we would assume that everything is peaceful in the abode of the Lord, here we find disturbance within the situation of the spiritual dham. If we compare it to Vrindavan, we find Vrindavan also had disturbance in the form of demons coming in. So those demons were actual demons, but the Lord allowed them in so that Krishna could partially fulfill his job of killing all the demons off. So he had to kill all these demons who were associates of Kamsa. So though the spiritual world is free of all impurities, we find that by the will of the Lord, sometimes certain things happen. So in Vrindavan, actual demons entered into Vrindavan. But at the same time, we should understand they didn't really appreciate Vrindavan, so they really didn't enter it. They couldn't really appreciate Krishna or the associates of Krishna or the Dham as a spiritual abode. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that people may go to the Dhamma like Navadvip or Vrindavan, but if they're materialists, they don't actually go to the Dhamma at all. They're there, but they don't really contact it. So their benefit is much less than a person who has devotion. Then he actually associates with the Dham, and then eventually he can see that Dham and become spiritualized by him. So, by the will of the Lord, sometimes these demons enter into Vrindavan. They cannot really appreciate it. And then Krishna kills them, and they get some benefit from that. Here also we see that we have some disturbance in Dwarka. Here it's not actually demons, but because we see that when the demons attack Dwarka, they're all defeated. They never get in. So we have the Lasalva comes with this big spaceship and tries to attack Dwarka. He can't really defeat Krishna and enter into the city. In this case, it's not actually a demon, but there is some disturbance here caused by Satrajit. And later we find that Akura also becomes involved in this event, and he's also a great devotee of the Lord. Actually, it's described even that there, even in the Vaikuntha, a demon can enter by the will of the Supreme Lord, but it is a very temporary affair or whatever. And then even in Goloka, Sanatana Goswami says that in Goloka itself, and then sometimes the demons come, like Aristasura comes, etc., and they enter in also. Of course, they're defeated. And then they become the playthings of the devotees. So Aristasura becomes a nice horse or whatever that they can ride. Though there may be some disturbances there, they're always resolved in some way or other. So here we find Satrajit causing some disturbance and to the Dham. And this creates an opportunity for, ultimately, the marriage of Krishna. Among other things. Exemplifies Krishna's wonderful character in that he actually has no greed at all for this jewel. and he actually forgives everybody after the whole incident. So the event resolves with a celebration of the marriage of Satyajit's daughter, and also the recovery of the jewel. And though it was offered to Krishna, Krishna really didn't want the jewel. So in this way, we see the Lord Himself shows His wonderful detached nature in this particular event by not having any attraction to anything in the material world. On the other hand, he married Satyajit's daughter. So this actually is not a material attraction at all. This is an eternal attraction between the Lord and His consort, His Shakti. So it doesn't come in the same category as material attraction at all. So previously, Rukmini's marriage was described in detail. And there it was mentioned how she actually is also the Shakti of the Lord eternally. And this was simply a pastime by which Krishna attained in the material world his eternal consort. And they were ideally suited to each other. And this is in the spiritual world, of course, they're eternally there. So, again, the principal queens are also, other queens are also eternally the Lord's queens. So here we have Satyajit's daughter, and there's an explanation of how she got married to Lord Krishna. And in this way, again, eternal relationship is produced here, even though it comes through some sort of lila of the Lord. Then after this, the marriage of Krishna to many other queens is described, the eight principal eight are described, and then how he married 16,100 other queens. This is also described later on. In this way, we have a description of the permanent situation of the Lord in Dwarka, where he expands himself into 16,108 forms, and he is personally enjoying with each of the queens in their separate palaces. And then when Narada Muni sees this, he also was astonished, because he's never seen this display of the Lord's wondrous powers of expanding himself simultaneously like this, and acting as if he's completely unaware of what's happening in the other palace. So that gives another opportunity for display of the Lord's power. Here we find the Krishna marrying the various queens, and through this he displays his wonderful power of expansion simultaneously, his enjoyment, his ananda, in each of these relationships, in Madhurya Rasa. So the same thing has happened in Vrindavan, where Krishna expands himself with all the different gopis in the Ras Lila. And many of those gopis are also eternal associates. Some, of course, are sadhana siddhas. But in any case, the Lord is personal with each of his devotees there. The people of Vrindavan, however, do not want to see the powers of Krishna, and they don't appreciate those powers that he displays. So the people of Vrindavan are blind to the expansions of Krishna and his powers, etc., and they refuse to accept them. And it is said when he was in the Ras Lila, none of the gopis could see that Krishna was in all these different forms. They all thought, Krishna is with me only. Just as in the palaces, each queen thought Krishna is only with that particular queen. So also in Vrindavan. So that though the power is displayed by Krishna, no one was really aware that that was taking place. Even in Dwarka, the only way it became noticed is because Narada Muni noticed it. He noticed the powers of Krishna because he went to each palace and saw individually. Otherwise, the queens also didn't know. But in any case, it is publicized. Narada Muni's great astonishment is recorded in the Bhagavatam, and then he understood the great power of Lord Krishna in relation to others forms of the Lord, because he'd never seen anything like this, how the Lord could expand himself and act so independently in each form. But same power is there in Vrindavan, and he can do that with 3 billion gopis, not 16,000 queens, but 3 billion gopis. And no one is aware of it. And it's not in palaces. It's in a rasa dance. And Krishna's also in the middle of a rasa dance with Radha. Nobody's really aware of that, by the power of Krishna. But they don't see the power of Krishna there. So there's a little bit of a difference there in display. In both places, Krishna displays the highest rasa, Madhurya rasa. So he satisfies those people who want Madhurya rasa in a very intimate way, in the form of the gopis. Then he satisfies those who want Madhurya rasa with Aishwarya mood, and that is in Dwarka, where 16,000 queens are there. So in any case, he shows the highest rasa in both places, though that in Dwarka is considered inferior to the Madhurya rasa in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan, no Aishwarya mood, no seeing Krishna as Supreme Lord. So therefore the intensity of the rasa is more. But in any case, Krishna is superior to all others. So therefore, even the Dwarka form of Krishna displays more qualities and powers than the other forms of the Lord. So he displays all the rasas, including Madhurya rasa, even if it is less than that in Vrindavan. So in any case, Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, and he displays extra powers that the other forms of the God don't reveal. So just as Krishna displays Madhurya rasa, and its culmination is the Ras Lila in Vrindavan, so he also displays Madhurya rasa in Dwarka. But there is no Ras Lila there. And everybody is married to Krishna. The queens are married to Krishna. In Vrindavan, the gopis are not married to Krishna. So that's another difference there. There is a parakya relationship. In Dwarka, they're all married to Krishna. So it's a married relationship, slightly different again. So the marriages are all described here, how Krishna married each of the 8 principal queens and then 16,100 queens later on. To display that particular type of ananda. And this displays the extra qualities of Krishna. Compared to other forms of the Supreme Lord. We do not see other forms of the Supreme Lord having 16,108 queens, even, or to speak of 3 billion gopis, but even 16,108 queens we don't see with other forms of the Lord. So Vishnu has Lakshmi, Sri Ambu, and Vaikuntha, and some, maybe a few others. With Krishna, even in Dwarka Krishna, we find extraordinary feat of Madhurya rasa taking place. And Vishnu Chakrabarti mentions that if a devotee aspires for Madhurya rasa, but within the Aishwarya mode, then he can go to Dwarka. But we don't find people aspiring for Aishwarya mode with and Madhurya rasa with Vishnu or anything like that. There's no real concept of becoming one of the consorts of the Lord in Vaikuntha. It is very limited there. Whereas in Dwarka, because 16,108, and then it is possible to be one of, assume the form of one of the queens there. So, in this way, Krishna shows more powers and a development of rasa.
You mentioned that Madhuri Bhava is existing in Dwarka. That is Aishwarya Madhuriya. So that means the highest is in Vrindavan. The highest Madhuriya is pure Madhuriya is in Vrindavan. Can we say like that?
Well, it's both Madhurya, but one is no Aishwarya, the other is Aishwarya. And in Vrindavan it is Parakya and becomes Swakya in Dwarka.
Maharaj, we see, you know, Krishna marrying Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati. This normally this offer come from other side, like Rukmini wanted to marry Krishna as well as here Shatrajit, he offered his daughter to Krishna as well as Jambavan also offered his daughter to Krishna. So what you can understand that Krishna is not interested with this thing, or Krishna is not interested with his pastime, that you know his shakti, or you know, can you say that on this even for the sadhaka also, then we have to show some interest in only Krishna will show us interest.
Well, one has to be qualified definitely by having the type of prema, suitable type of prema for Krishna, and we saw that Rukmini was ideally qualified. Of course, these queens are eternally the associates. These eight queens are eternally the associates of the Lord, so naturally they're qualified. But it's not that all of them made the request. We find that it's, sometimes Krishna just went and took the different queens, etc. So it's not always that they had to make a request or whatever.
We see that 16th of that what Narakasur kept, as well as this Rukmini, Satyabhama, as well as here and Jambavati, all requested by others that you know, please, I might, is it the principal queen normally? You see this Rukmini. Good. Yeah.
Well, we can say that Krishna, in one sense, is detached from everything. So the others, that's why there would be some sort of request on the other's part, not that he's demanding anything like that. But as I said, these are all eternal associates anyway. So it's just a matter of pastimes and how they get married to Krishna.
Another question is like Maharaj, in the Rasa Lila, when Krishna is dancing with 3 billion gopis, do they feel that Krishna is only with the individual or the particular one, that, or they feel that no, Krishna is with other also?
Yeah, they don't see that. Even though Krishna was, there was a circle on Krishna and a gopi and Krishna and a gopi and a Krishna and a gopi, they didn't see that. The Krishna had expanded himself and was between each gopi even. They couldn't see that.
So similarly in Dwarka also, the other these queens, Queens doesn't see that Krishna is with other.
Yeah. They think that she's, well, they don't see it because of different palaces.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they think that Krishna is only with them.
Then how this thought come to these queens that, you know, when these queens offered, they requested Krishna, please marry us. Because if they don't think that Krishna cannot satisfy to everybody.
No, they know he's married to all the other queens. But when he comes to them, they think, oh, Krishna's only here. He likes me more than the others. That's all. And they're not aware that he's simultaneously expanding himself into all the different palaces.
Another question, like in the, in the translation, in the verse, it is said that only Dwarakavasi knows that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But apart from the Dwaraka, means those who are bound to the Dwaraka, I think they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. Just those who are out of Dwarka, they don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Only those who live in Dwarka, they only know Krishna is the Supreme Lord.
Well, because they have to be qualified as devotees to live in Dwarka in general, and outside they may not be qualified. So therefore they may have other ideas about them, maybe materialists, semi-materialists, or great materialists, or asuras even.
And normally, you know, material or what happened, you know, when we see someone is a great person, you know, this name and fame goes around everywhere, you know. But for Krishna, we don't see that much, you know, that he is a Supreme Lord, although this Dwarakavasi knows, but his name and fame doesn't go around the world.
Well, we find that when he traveled from one place to the other on his way to Hastinapur or whatever, or from Kurukshetra or back, then in the different provinces, then the people knew about Krishna, so they all gathered, and many of them were like semi-devotees or whatever, and they advanced by glancing at Krishna, etc. So he was well known everywhere.
Here of two marriages, the marriage of Jambavati and Satyabhama. We see that Jambavan realizes the prowess of Krishna and gives Jambavati in marriage with great happiness and willingness. Whereas Satrajit, he does it as a sort of atonement. But in the later part, when we see that in the Leelas, Satyabhama is given more importance than Jambavati. Is there any reason for such statements?
Well, it's just, as I said, this is the eternally they have some certain positions, that's all. So Satyabhama is actually an expansion of Radha and Rukmini of Chandravali, so naturally they get the most prominence because of that.